The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, co-producer, and technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. And I cannot believe it, but this is the last Monday of January. Where did January go? Thursday's going to be February 1st, I'm saying, thinking to myself. My goodness, time is going by so fast. I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me in the studio is a woman by the name of Christine Hove. She's a volunteer activist for 350 Sonoma and will be exploring climate change and talk about some of the actions that will be happening February. As you know, February is Valentine's Month. It's my favorite holiday, and also it's Black History Month, so we will have a lot of interesting things happening in February. Also joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C. will be Alexandra DeLuca. She's the press secretary for Emily's List, an organization that works to recruit, train, and elect pro-choice Democrat women in office. I am so excited about this interview and know it will be extremely informative. You know, there's something like, there's just hundreds of women running for office across the United States, and Emily List is very, very instrumental in supporting these women. I remember the first time I heard about Emily's List was through Erin Carlston when she ran for Santa Rosa City Council, and she was telling me how she got support from them. So it's going to be a very, very interesting interview. So we're going to talk about climate and politics today. Well, it's the last Monday of the month. And what do we do on the last Monday of the month? We do the Women's Spaces Pledge. You know, I have to tell you, it was just such an honor to be at the women's gathering last Saturday and to be able to pass out the pledge and to get response from people. And I want to thank all the people out there that came up and introduced themselves to me, repeated the pledge, told me that they saved the cards that I gave them. And by the way, if folks want a copy of the pledge, all you have to do is go on to www.womenspaces. There's a copy of the pledge there. Just hit copy and go into Word, and you can make yourself a copy and print it out. If you would like a copy from me, a little card, just email me at elaine@womenspaces.com, and I'll be happy to send out one of the pledges to you. And also, while we're talking about mailing things, it's just a simple reminder. You know, KBBF is the first bilingual station here in the United States, and I really want to encourage all my listeners out there to become members. Become members of KBBF. Let them know that you support your local bilingual station. And when you become a member, because of Women's Spaces, it shows that you're also supporting Women's Spaces. If you have any questions about becoming a member or even becoming an underwriter, a sustainer, you can go on KBBF.org, and there's all kinds of instructions on there, or you can call 707-545-8833, and folks here will be happy to answer your question. Well, let's take the pledge. You know, as I want to give people just a little reminder, since this is the first pledge of 2018 that we're doing, the pledge was written for my grandson, Ryan Jensen, and it's so interesting that here's this little boy that I wrote this pledge for, who's now going to become a father and make me a great grandmother. Ken and I are just beside ourselves, thinking to ourselves, my goodness, it was enough to become grandparents, but now great grandparents. Well, we must be getting old. But, you know, hey, March 18th is my birthday. I can't believe it. I'm going to be 78 years old, 2 years from 80. wow, I remember I used to think that was ancient, and here I am. Amazing, amazing what happens in life. One day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and there you are. Well, folks, let's do the pledge. You know, I invite my audience here. I have two people in the studio with me. And just repeat after me. I'm going to say the first line, and then you repeat after me, and then we'll go through the whole thing together. And here we go with the Women's Space Pledge. You know, listen to what it's saying. What's so important about this pledge is when you think about all these women that are coming out and letting people know what has been going on, it takes a lot of self-esteem and self-confidence. And that's what the pledge is all about, is to instill self-esteem and self-confidence in you, to be able to speak out, to be able to say, no, this is not right. No, this is not right. I want to make a statement, to go in front of a city council. This even helps when you're writing letters to the editor. It takes a certain amount of self-esteem to put yourself out there. Most of us are fearful. That's why I believe this pledge is very important. So I'm going to say the first line, and then if you folks would repeat after me, I would appreciate it. Here we go. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship
with myself
and my higher power.
Now, every once in a while I get an email and they want to know, what are you talking about, Elaine, my higher power? Well, I used to put the great woohoo, I used to put the great whatever, I used to even say, my self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and I don't know who else. You know, some sort of spirituality. So whatever your higher power is, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in Buddha, Muhammad, your dog, I mean, whatever you consider your higher power, that's what that line is. I really like, to be honest with you, I like it this way. My self-esteem depends on my relation with myself and the great woohoo. That makes more sense to me because, you know, we live in this beautiful, beautiful mystery. We live on Mother Earth circulating all through the universe. You know, when you look at the Hubble telescope and you look at the Earth, we can't even see ourselves. Very interesting. I mean, where's the Earth? You know, it's this little spot it's in between all these planets and all this stuff that's going on. So we live in a mystery. We live in a great mystery. And that, to me, is what the higher power is. So take it in. I'm going to say the whole thing just by myself. Just listen to it, absorb it, take it in, think about it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. You know, there's an old saying, practice what you preach. Well, I want you to know that I say this every day. I also say it at least 5 times before I go in the air. I have a wonderful guest that's going to talk about 350. This is the first time that she's on radio. I love when women are the first time on radio because they can see, number one, they can do it. Number two, their voice. They have a voice that's coming out that's telling the world, whoever's listening. I mean, we're streaming, so that means they can hear all across the continent, can listen to this show. And it's a booster. It's a self-esteem booster. So I'm going to say this one more time. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. So together with a sense of self-esteem, a little bit of knowledge, and maybe a little support from Emily's list, it's amazing what we as women are going to be able to accomplish in this election cycle. I am very, very excited about it. I really am. And a shout out to all those women out there who are throwing their hat in the ring. You know, women handle things a little bit different. And you need diversity. You need integration. You need men and women working together. You can't just have all male or all female. It's got to be an integration. That's what nature does. Nature integrates the male, the female, and produces some beautiful, beautiful things. So lots to look forward to. And another thing I just want to tell folks that I found very interesting. There's an event going on. Oh, my goodness, what did I do with it? There's an event going on, and that's going to be with the Sonoma County Sheriff Candidate Forum. And I thought this is interesting. It's January 31st at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be at 1421 Guerneville Road in Santa Rosa. They're asking for a $20 donation. But what I think is interesting, this is the Republican Party that's having this forum. And I think for people out there, progressives, Democrats, whatever, we should all get together. You know, the sheriff should be a nonpartisan event. You know, it should not be any type of party affiliation. I mean, that person should be kind of a middle of the roader. So it's going to be kind of interesting to me to see what they have to say, particularly at the Republican level. So the meeting is going to be January 31st at 7 o'clock. January 31st, today's the 29th, so that's Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Sonoma County GOP headquarters at 1421 Guerneville Road in Santa Rosa. And they're asking for a $20 donation, and they're going to be doing a forum, a candidates forum, and we have three people running: Ernesto Oliveras, John Mutz, and Mark Essex. And they're all confirmed. They're all confirmed candidates, and I'm very excited. And I think it's worthwhile to go to see how other people are presenting these three candidates. Anyway, lots to think about, lots to do here in Sonoma County. And right now, we're going to take a musical break. And, you know, it's so interesting, these musical breaks, trying to find women singing songs that are really meaningful, particularly that are attached to our guest. And I found a great song called Save the Earth, Tied Together with Love. I just think that. Save the Earth, Tied Together with Love. You know, when I think of love, I think of the first letter of love, which is L. And to me, that means just let it be. Let people be. You know, when you love someone, you just acknowledge that they are okay and that you're there for them. That, to me, is love. That you're just okay. You know, no judgment, just okay. So think about this. Save the Earth, Tied Together with Love. And it's sung by a woman by the name of Bethy. And when we come back, joining me in the studio is Christine Wolf, who is a volunteer activist for 350 Sonoma. And we will be exploring climate change and talk about some of the actions that they are going to be taking. And one of the things about 350, they have been very active over the past almost a decade now, actually, when Bill McKibben, I remember when he first came on the scene. And so Christine, she's going to explain a little bit what 350 is here in Sonoma County and what they're doing. So here we go with our musical break, Save the Earth, Tied Together with Love, sung by Bethy.
I need fresh air to breathe. I need good air for the flowers and the trees. I need fresh air, clean.
Save the Earth.
save the earth for our children. Save the earth for ourselves. And I love the way she says, save the earth, our precious earth. You know, we have to think about that. This is our planet. This is where we live. Well, anyway, for you folks just joining us, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions presented here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. By the way, people ask me, why do I call myself Elaine B. Holtz? Well, my middle name is Beverly, but I put the B in there because it reminds me to be myself. I'm a beautiful child of the earth, and I'm also doing the very best I can and to be here now. So that's what Elaine B. Holtz means. That's quite a thought, right? You know, try it yourself. Put your middle initial in there and see what you come up with. Well, anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest in the studio with me, Christine Wolf, who is a volunteer activist for 350 Sonoma. Welcome, Christine. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is the first time you've been on radio.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. You know, let me tell folks just a little bit about you. You know, Christine is with 350 Sonoma County here. She is a volunteer activist, and she is also a sustainable flower grower. And, you know, it was very interesting when she said that, because before I got together with Ken, I had no idea of how flowers grew. I mean, it was very, very interesting watching. Right now, we're into the daffodils.
Right.
It's just
springtime.
Beautiful. What is sustainable? I mean, what is a sustainable flower grower?
Well, it's looking at all the things that go into growing the flower and considering the energy and chemicals that would go into them and trying to minimize things that are not natural, and the energy, minimizing the energy. So my flowers aren't shipped. They grow in my backyard. I only use organic fertilizers. I don't use any pesticides or herbicides. And that makes it more sustainable for the earth, keeping the earth, you know, clean and protected, and minimizing the energy so we don't produce more CO2 in the atmosphere.
Amazing. What's your favorite flower?
Oh, gosh. That's impossible.
There
are so many. Well, right now I've been forcing amaryllis, the large amaryllis, to you can grow those inside, and those are very beautiful and really fun in the wintertime. I love the irises that come up first, the Dutch iris.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Of course, daffodils are always fun. I love the summer flowers. Sunflowers are definitely one of my favorite flowers, and I grow a great variety of sunflowers in the summertime.
So. Well, I got to tell folks, there's nothing more exciting than growing flowers in your backyard and cutting a few and taking them in and putting them in your house. It's just amazing.
Exactly.
Well, welcome here. You know, and for you, a top issue is climate change. And also, one of the things that you wrote in your bio is that you feel that we have a small window of time. And I think 350 is about that. So why don't you talk about a little bit about 350? Explain, who are they, what are they, and how did you get involved?
Right. Okay. So 350... .org is a large international organization online, and 350 Sonoma is sort of a local child of that organization, and we work here in Sonoma County on climate issues and actions. I got involved in about 2015 when I found there was a local group I could dig in and do some work with, and that for me has been really great to be able to get some hands-on work and working with great people who I've learned a lot from.
Why do you think this is important? I mean, when I knew that I was going to have you on, and I talked to Sunny, I think it's, what's Sunny's last name?
Right, Sunny Galbraith.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's really been bringing me up to date on things. And in reading the information, the thing that is so stunning to me is that when 350 started, it was 350, and if you could explain what that means. But also now we're at 400.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's,
just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a lot of people don't know what the number stands for, but it stands for 350 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere, and that is a very important number because that is generally the number that our civilization, as we know it today, and the plants and animals and even us as humans evolved in. That creates the climate that we evolved in. And right now we're up to 400,
over
400.
Wait, Christine, so the 350 is kind of our comfort level. That's where we could be, where we sustain ourselves, things grow, the water, all the things are in balance for us. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It creates... you know, the atmosphere has a lot to do with the climate, and it creates the all-over climate that that holds the biological environment that we've evolved in.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was reading the clock, you know, I mean, two things are happening. Last night I was listening to the news, and they said they moved the doomsday clock up to like 4 seconds before midnight or something. I'm thinking to myself, what, the world's going to be coming to an end? And now this 400, and I'm wondering, what is that doing? Is that some of the reasons for some, like, we just had a horrible fire here. You know, you've got flooding in Paris. I mean, all these different things that are happening. Is this contributing to that?
It's difficult with individual incidences of climate to say what exactly. But the way to think of it that I've read from many scientific sources is that with a rise in temperatures, it exacerbates all of the climate activity. Like, if you have a hurricane, then with the warmer oceans, you have a more extreme hurricane. You have more water, and we certainly saw that in the hurricanes this season in Texas and in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And with the fires, more frequent and hotter, because as we remember, last summer was a very hot, even in Sonoma County, was a hot, dry summer. Even though we'd had all that rain, then we had a huge fuel load, and then things were really dried out, and so we had that big wind, and boom, we had a fire that just wiped out so many, caused so much damage, such a tragedy.
Well, again, you know, back to what I said when I was doing the pledge, is that oftentimes we forget that we live on this planet in this great mystery, you know, and that there's certain elements that are in place so we can survive. And if you take away those elements, we're putting ourselves in danger. So talk about some of the things that you're doing here in Sonoma County to help with the solutions or to help move forward on this.
Right, right. So, what we do as an organization is we meet once a month at the Peace and Justice Center, and every month we do a teach-in on a specific topic or issue, and you know, public is welcome. We really encourage everyone to come.
Oh, my goodness. So you do a teach-in. You actually invite people to sit down and learn something.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Get away from your cell phones and your TVs.
Right, right. And it's always what we're teaching is actually about how to take action. So, like, this last meeting that we had on the third, we always meet in the third Wednesday of every month at the Peace and Justice Center. We talked about legislative action and how to engage in that and how to, you know, contact your assembly person or your senator or state senator. And primarily we're working on the state level right now because California is such a great state. There's really a lot of positive things happening. So we were focusing on SB 100, which is a state Senate bill to get to 100% renewable electricity by 2045. And that's important because we need to set goals, and then we can hold the government accountable to get to those goals by the other actions that they take.
Well, you're looking at 2045. This is 2018, so that's about 30 years?
Right, right. So it sounds like it's way in the future. But these things do take time, and there's goals set along the way to reach that, but it takes time to change. I mean, our whole economy, our whole systems are built on these fossil fuels. So we have to set concrete goals to get off of those. And then we have to do it consistently and obviously as fast, you know, we need to do it as fast as we can. But it's really important to make these goals in law so that they are followed and keep lawmakers on task.
Well, it kind of put a little dent in the system, didn't it, with our new president who claims to be a climate denier. In fact, I thought it was really interesting when they had, I couldn't believe how many feet of snow they had back east. I think it was something like 7 or 8 feet
right.
of snow. And then he says, he made the statement, well, where's global warming? You know, and I just thought that was kind of ignorant.
Yeah. It is.
No, but how does that affect? I mean, how does that affect some of the movements that are going on?
Actually, it's a big hit to, and it certainly was a huge disappointment. But actually, I think it's really invigorating people to the urgency, and there's a very strong movement in cities and in state governments to. Say we're in this Paris Treaty just because Trump's opting out. They're saying we're in, and so I think it's invigorating activists along with all of the other issues. So it's all I can say is that that's the good that's coming up of it.
Well, it was so interesting when I started thinking about how many people came out. People were afraid that the second Women's March was not going to be as big as the first one. And when you saw some of the films, especially in San Francisco, they had almost over 100,000 people. And you just saw mounds of people, waves of people, more and more women coming out, and a lot of men. And this year, more than last year, I saw so many children.
Yes.
And young people, and younger people, too, becoming involved. Yes. So I think you're right. I think it's inspiring. For me, it's incentivized me to get more involved, to bring more people on the air, to do more things. Well, talk about your organization here in Sonoma County. What are some of the things that you're doing in February? What are some of the things that you'd like folks to become aware of?
Yeah. I'd like to mention just real quickly two other groups that we, within our group, we have besides the Legislative Watch, we have a zero waste group that meets as well, and they're working with Recology, the new trash hauler. I hate to call it trash because I don't really think of it as trash, but and also with the solid waste Sonoma County Solid Waste Management to get Sonoma County to adopt a zero waste policies in all of its cities and in the county. And that's really important because waste, it just goes to the landfill, causes methane, and it's a potent greenhouse gas emission. So that's one of the groups. And the other group is really important. It's regenerative agriculture. And what we're doing in that group is we're working with soil scientist David C. Johnson to create a fungal-rich compost that will enhance plants to draw down CO2 and hold it in the soil. And I know that sounds kind of scientific, and maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with it, but it's one of the ways that we, besides getting off fossil fuel, we can use this really wonderful technique to actually draw down CO2 back into the soil and build the soil, which is a win-win because then we have wonderful soil. So that's two other groups that people can join and get involved in. And then we have lots of events going on, too.
So you're telling us that there's hope.
Oh, yes, there definitely
is. You're telling us there's hope. And you know what's so interesting? One of the things that I found most interesting is most of the people that are involved are volunteers. You know, a lot of volunteers. And that's what democracy is all about. Democracy takes people energy. Without people energy, it doesn't happen. Well, you know, the clock is starting to move on us, Christine. So why don't you tell us about some of the events that are happening in February, and also if you have any websites and how they can get a hold of you.
Definitely. Thank you. So we have a couple of great events. Okay, so on January 31st, we have a fossil-free watch party in Santa Rosa. We'll be streaming an event live from Washington, D.C., kind of in answer to the...
Before you announce this, I want everybody to know that everything that you say, we will have on our website.
Oh, great. And I'll tell you our website. It's all going to be there, too. So that's going to be exciting. It's kind of an answer to the inauguration. So we're going to talk about how to get the whole nation off of fossil fuel. Okay, so on February 8th, there's a rally in San Francisco, and this is to support community choice energy, and that will be that's really important because we want to continue to have our wonderful organizations like Sonoma Clean Power, where we have a choice about choosing clean energy. And then also, this is really important in Sacramento. There's a bus going and taking people to protest the offshore oil drilling that Trump has opened up all over on all our coast. And the bus leaves at 10 a.m. from the Environmental Center in Santa Rosa, and it's going to be back at 4. You can go online and get tickets for that. Look at, you know, go to our website. That's really important because they're holding all of these meetings, the government is, about these, about the coastal drilling in capitals that are not on the coast. They're holding all of them away from the coast. So, and that's the coast. We're more aware here of the dangers of our offshore drilling. So it's really important that we all get to Sacramento and show up for this. The executive director of 350.org is going to be in Sonoma, the town of Sonoma, on February 13th. And we'd like people to come out for to hear her. She's really great. So our website.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the best way to get involved is 350sonoma.org.
That's 350sonoma.org.
Correct. And also our Facebook page. We post everything up there. 350 Sonoma Facebook. Thank you.
Who is scheduled for an interview?
Okay, go ahead.
And go there. You can sign up for any of those things, get information about our meetings, and donate. Of course, we always need funds. So if you want to volunteer or donate, check those out and get involved. We need lots of help, and you don't need any experience. I think that everybody has experience in something, and, you know, it's all good, and we all learn as we go. So it's... You know, women doing what they do best, getting things done.
Well, Christine Wolf, I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. And I have to say, for the first time being on radio, you were absolutely excellent, bringing all that good information to us and so well prepared. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing such a good job.
Oh, well, thank you. And I want to say that you inspired me with your pledge and just all of your enthusiasm for women. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Oh, my goodness. There's so many fabulous women in this world. I mean, it's just too exciting for me. And I think we have someone waiting on the phone for us. They're not there? What happened? Did you get an answering machine? Or? Mm-hmm. Okay, so why don't you try dialing it again? And then if we can't get a hold of them at least list this time, then we're going to be a little bit more creative. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break. And the song I will be playing is Hey, Mr. Politician, sung by Ellen Birksdale. And when we come back, joining me from Washington, D.C., will be Alexandra De Luca, who's the press secretary for Emily's List, an organization that works to recruit, train, and elect pro-choice Democratic women to office. Here we go with Ellen Birksdale, Hey, Mr. Politician. Here, try it.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right to marry whom I choose. Not your place to call me a sinner or decide who to have as my mate. Don't twist the words of the Bible to make laws that discriminate. If I choose, it's not your place to turn back the clock a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. Church and state, your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my death. You're not walking. Politician, don't send me to war. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind a battle. It's not worth the lives we lose. It's not your place to lead your crusade, teaching our children to fight. Or say, can you see?
Wow, make no debate. Don't you dare take away my freedom to choose. Well, anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest, Alexandra De Luca. Welcome, Alexandra. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Elaine, I'm so thrilled to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, ditto. You know, I just want everybody to know that Alexandra De Luca is the PR person for Emily's List in Washington, D.C., and she's joining us on the phone. And if it's okay with you, Alexandra, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alexandra De Luca is the press secretary for Emily's List, an organization that works to recruit, train, and elect pro-choice Democratic women to office. Her background is in political communications, and before coming to Emily's List during the 2016 election cycle, worked as communication consultant for progressive nonprofits. She graduated from Georgetown University, where she studied government, and what a combination, government and theology.
Makes me a blast at dinner parties. I can say nothing but controversial things.
Well, I'm going to tell you a secret, Alexandria. I actually studied to be a unity minister.
Oh, wow.
So we have something in common. And while a Chicago native, grew up in London, England, a dual citizenship, and her loyalties primarily lie on this side of the Atlantic, except during World Cup matches. Well, welcome, Alexandria, and thank you so much for giving us this interview. It's a real honor to have you on the phone.
Well, thank you. The honor's all mine.
Well, you know, there was an article in our Press Democrat under their Nation section on January 3rd, and that's what really inspired me to get a hold of Emily's List. What it said is, wanted, progressive women candidate. So can you talk a little bit about Emily's List? Give us a little background, and what does it mean, wanted, progressive women candidates?
Absolutely. So Emily's List was founded over three decades ago by Ellen Malcolm, who was working in Democratic politics here in Washington, D.C., and realized that there had never before been a Democratic woman elected to the Senate in her own right. And she thought that boggled her mind, and so she brought together a group of women in the progressive movement, women who were working in politics in Washington, and they formed Emily's List as an organization to fix exactly that problem. EMILY stands for Early Money is Like Yeast, in that it makes the dough rise. Because a crucial component to this, in order to have women not only run but win these elections, was ensuring that they had enough money to do so. And they found that the Democratic Party structure, to say nothing on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats were just didn't think women could be viable candidates for these high-profile Senate and House seats. So EMILY's List was formed to help these women raise that early money in the goal that they would hopefully win those elections. And we've been incredibly successful. Again, over our almost 33-year history, we've elected over 100 women to the House, over 20 women to the U.S. Senate, and hundreds and hundreds of women on the state and local level. And that's only the beginning, because this year, as I'll explain a little later, but this year is bound to be historic. We're seeing a historic number of women raise their hand and run for office, not just this year, but in 2020, in 2022, and in elections to come. We are seeing just a wave of women volunteer to step up and serve, and it's an incredibly exciting time to be at the organization.
Well, you know, I want to make a little report about Sonoma County. We had a woman that ran for Santa Rosa City Council by the name of Erin Carlston, and she actually was supported by EMILY's List. That was the first time that I actually found out how the support comes in. So I want to thank you for that. She served very well.
Oh, you are welcome. That's so exciting. I love all the local ties.
Well, talk a little bit. You know, more women are running. What do you think is happening? I mean, I know there has been the Women's March. I know this is in retaliation to what's going on with Trump and some of the issues around women trying to take away their right to choose. I mean, now they're hitting birth control. I mean, we have a planet that's over flooding already with people, and now they're saying, oh, you can't have birth control. I mean, what do you think is going on with women right now?
So it started the day of the election. I think you can't take the Trump out of this. You can't take the fact that Hillary Clinton, who is an immensely qualified, passionate, driven, inspirational woman, probably the most qualified person of any gender we've ever seen run for president, that she lost. And not only that she lost this election, but that she lost to a man like Donald Trump, a man who has bragged about sexually assaulting women, who has said that women who have abortions should be punished, and women were angry and frustrated, and they wanted to take action. So in the months after that election, EMILY's List had heard from 1,000 women who wanted to run for office. Now, to put that in perspective, during the entire 2016 election cycle, that's 2 years, we heard from 920 women, and that in itself was historic. So 1,000 in the 4 weeks immediately after the election. And then throughout this year, we've just seen moments in which waves and waves of women raise their hand and come to us looking for information about running for office. And that's absolutely the Women's March, which was a huge motivational factor for women all across the country, not only in cities like Los Angeles or Chicago or Washington, D.C., but places like Helena, Montana or Lincoln, Nebraska, smaller places where maybe Democrats or the liberal movement isn't as out and proud, so to speak, but where maybe these women who were very personally moved and affected by Hillary Clinton's loss, who were frustrated and angry that an open misogynist, a man who won't call himself a feminist, is president, that they came out and they found out that they weren't alone. And so that idea of them not being alone and just visually being able to see that was incredibly powerful. And then there were other moments throughout this year when, whether it was Republicans' attempts to repeatedly repeal the Affordable Care Act, where it was the repealing of the contraceptive mandate, whether it was the Republicans passing the tax bill, the Me Too movement, of course, has been a huge motivating factor. And then there was the 2017 elections in which EMILY's List saw dozens and dozens and dozens of women, again, who had run these successful campaigns, win last November. And that showed that not only could women mobilize this energy that we're seeing all across the country, but they could use it to attain actual electoral success. And so this year, I'm proud to report that EMILY's List, again, since that election, Donald Trump's election, we've heard from over 30,000 women
30,
who want to run for office. 30,000. Look, they're not all going to run in 2018. They're going to run in 2020 and 2022. Again, like I said, this is looking like a sea change moment for politics in this country, and these women are going to change the face of power for decades to come. We're not going back.
Well, you know, let's piggyback on that a little bit. Let's say there's a woman out there listening today, and she's saying, "Wow, I want to be one of those 30,000." What do they do with Emily's List? I mean, I know I made a phone. I know it took me a little bit to get finally be able to get to you and to be able to get the interview. Tell us what would a typical woman do if she decide, "Hey, I want to throw my hat in the ring."
Yeah, so first off, I would recommend any woman interested in running for office to reach out to Emily's List at emilyslist.org, and you can go to our page, Run to Win, which is our huge national recruitment campaign. This is where you can join 30,000 of your sisters all across the country who are also looking to run for office. And then we hold, we have a number of resources that we have available for women who are running, the majority of whom are perhaps like your listeners, first-time candidates who don't have experience necessarily directly in electoral politics. So we offered over 20 trainings in person last year. We trained over 2,400 women how to run for office. And then we also have a series of online trainings because it's an incredibly, we truly believe here that even if women aren't living in areas in which Emily's List can hold a large training, if they're not living in San Francisco or Las Vegas or Miami, cities where we went and had trainings last year, we still want to make sure that they have the resources they need. So we're holding webinars, and we're going to be holding them throughout the early part of 2018. And they're just really to be able to give any woman across the country who's living in a community that maybe we won't be able to get out to. If you're running for mayor of Wasilla, Alaska, you should be able to have resources from Emily's List, and that's precisely what we're doing.
So you have webinars online. And then do you also do trainings in individual areas?
Yes, in-person trainings and online webinar trainings.
So, you know, I think is good. So, and people can find all this information on Emily's List, because what I would like to do is just pay attention to it and make sure women know when a training is happening locally.
Absolutely. And I should have mentioned this at the start. These trainings are, of course, free. So they're accessible to women from all backgrounds and kind of all walks of life. Because, again, we want every woman who is passionate enough to and brave enough to raise her hand and take that first step to serve to be able to do so.
Well, do you find that oftentimes that the women want to run, but they find their own interpersonal barriers? You know, it's too much money, or I can't do it, or I don't have the right education. What are some suggestions you give as far as how women start thinking what would be a good thought process to start thinking about if you want to run for office?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you. At our trainings, one of the biggest things that we do is a lot of myth busting. As you mentioned, women have a lot of these preconceived notions about what they have to be. Men wake up in the morning and they look in the mirror and they see a congressman. Women don't necessarily do that, although considering these 30,000 women are raising their hand, we are, and I love it, we're seeing more and more women wake up in the morning and see themselves as congresswomen. So women have these preconceived notions that they have to be a lawyer or have previously worked in politics or have $20 million in their bank account in order to run for office. And what we want each and every woman who come to our trainings or talk to one of us to know and to understand is that every woman can and should run for office if she is passionate about fixing something in her community, if she's passionate about serving, if she's passionate about giving back. There's a little joke in our office that you can't really get out of a meeting with one of us, even if it's just casual, even if we're just sitting down to dinner, without an Emily's List staff member or representative saying, "Have you ever thought about running for office?" We can be very convincing in that way. But again, what's so exciting is that these internalized barriers that a lot of women put up around and not thinking that they have the qualifications or they have what it takes, we're seeing those barriers just melt this year. And so it used to be a huge component of our job was going to kitchen tables, sitting down with women and saying, "You are strong, you are smart, you know the community like the back of your hand, you should consider running for this position." And we're seeing women not need to have that kitchen table conversation. We're just seeing women come forward, confident, inspired, and ready to take action.
Well, you know, it's so amazing. In 2020, we're going to be coming up with 100 years since we got the vote. And the whole idea, the whole idea when you start really doing the history of it, and I don't know if you're aware of this, Alexandria, but here in Sonoma County, you know, we actually are the home of the Women's History Project.
I didn't know that.
Yes, a woman by the name of Molly McGregor was the one of the co-founders, and they have, it's called the National Women's History Project, and it's housed right here in Sonoma County. We, her and I actually went to Sonoma State together. When we first start walking, when I was walking and talking to her, and they start getting this idea about women's history, because we couldn't find any women's history. There was nothing, there was very little recorded. I mean, we knew of a few women, you know, like who the first woman who flew, you know, Amelia Earhart. Everybody knew about that, but all the other women that, that have followed with her and done some of the great things that they've done. And it started here in Sonoma County. And it was really amazing to find out how many things and how much women have actually accomplished during their during our lifetimes and during the life of the United States itself. And it was so unknown. And here we have another historical time happening where women are actually starting to rise again and saying, you know, enough is enough. You know, we don't want to be abused. We want to run for office. We want to have our place at the table. We want equality. And I think this time we're a lot louder than we've ever been. Would you agree with that?
I would say women are loud and they're not backing down. I absolutely agree with you. I get a lot of, I hear a lot of comparisons to 1992, which I'm sure you know, maybe some of your listeners know, was referred to as the Year of the Woman. It was following Anita Hill's testimony about sexual harassment in front of Congress, in front of a all-male Senate Judiciary Committee. And women who are watching this and who were just felt Anita Hill's pain and were angered by this all-male, what looked like a jury kind of judging her there from the Senate Judiciary Committee, they were inspired to come out and vote and elected a wave of women candidates back in 1992. So I'm hearing a lot of comparisons. I think, and just to cap that off, women were definitely loud in 92. And so I'm hearing a lot of comparisons to 92 now, but what I'll have to say is that we're already in a year of the woman, but this isn't just about 1 year. This, if this is just about 2018, we failed. And I don't think that we're going to fail because these women aren't just running for one reason or for 1 year. These women, this is, again, this is a sea change moment. It's not a wave. It's not a year. And I think that's what's so exciting is to just see how vocal these women are being, not just in calling their members of Congress and protesting and marching. It's women who want to be vocal because they want to change who is speaking at tables of power in this country. And I really think we're going to see that happen in November and in Novembers to come.
Well, you know, when you talk about 92 and you talk about the women's movement, one of the things that I've learned through this whole process with Trump getting elected and all these other different things that happened over the past, I'd say, decade, is as women, we cannot let up. We have to stay in there. We can't just say, oh, everything's fine and back off, because it just doesn't work that way. We still have not made the changes, and we still do not have the number of seats at the table that we really need to be able to affect change. Well, you know, Alexandria, time goes by so fast, and we're coming to the end of our segment here, and I would love you to give websites, any other suggestions that you want to give, any kind of information that you feel is important for our listeners to know.
Absolutely. Once again, our website is emilyslist.org. We think that the most important thing for every woman and indeed every man to do is to think about running for office. And women in particular, if you can't run for office right now, that's not a never. Emily's List will not take it as a never. But you can also sign up on Run to Win to help a woman run for office, whether that's helping them canvass or making donations or even helping them stuff envelopes. It's critical. We're at a moment here in our nation's history where there truly is a crisis of leadership. Donald Trump and the Republican parties have turned their backs on American people and American women and families in particular, and each and every one of us needs to think hard about how we're going to solve that. And so working to elect pro-choice Democratic women is one really powerful way you can do that, even if you're not going to serve right now yourself. So I would just encourage all of your listeners to join me in getting really excited about the historic year we're going to see in November and help us get those wave of women elected.
Well, Alexandria De Luca, program PR person at Emily's List. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and for giving us so much important information.
Elaine, it was lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm going to keep up on the website to make sure that I have all the different places that are happening here in Northern California. And if you'd be so kind, every once in a while, drop me an email and just let me know what's going on. And any time that you feel that you'd like to be on or you feel that there's an announcement to be made, please, please let me know.
I will do just that. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. And you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
You too.
Oh, my goodness, what a great interview. I mean, there's so many great women in this world. I mean, Alexandra De Luca, I mean, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces and for doing what you're doing for Emily's List. And one of the things I got out of the interview as I was talking to Alexandria, her enthusiasm, I feel it's just taken me over. I mean, I wish I was younger. I would run for office. I mean, I'm looking at Christine here. She's sitting across from me. She's young enough. You got to start thinking about it, especially you did such a great job today. Well, that's it for our show. Special thank you to Christine Wolf, a volunteer activist for 350 Sonoma, and Alexandria De Luca, who's the press secretary for Emily's List, an organization that worked to recruit, train, and elect pro-choice Democratic women to office. And also to remind you, if you go on Women's Spaces, www.womensspaces.com, you'll have all the information that's happening with 350 here in Sonoma County, everything that Christine talked about, all the events that they're having. Also, anything that has to do with Emily's List, I'll have the website and Alexandria's contact. And reminder, tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again tonight at 11 p.m. So you can hear tonight, you can hear today's show again, or tell, if you like the show, tell your friends, hey, it's on at 11 o'clock. That's 89.1 FM. If you go to kbbf.org and you look up at the right-hand corner on the website, there's a way to become a sustainer to donate. If you like the program, look at, we had here in Sonoma County, we had all the way from Washington, D.C., we had Emily's List to tell women on how they can run for office, how we can sustain our power. But you know something? Without that dinero, folks, we're not going to be able to stay in the air. And I'm proud, even though I am a programmer here at Sonoma County at KBBF, I still make a monthly donation. So I encourage all of you out there to do the same. Remember, the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. When you start, look, I mean, I can't believe the other day I turned on the radio and I found out there's a volcano that's erupting somewhere. I also found out can you imagine? Paris is flooding. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening and I look forward to being with you the next time. In your life.